Good morning, everyone. This is Shauna, the Tax Goddess, and I'm here today with somebody really super special. So I'm so pleased. Please, everyone, meet Mary. Mary is with CareerStone Group, and her expertise, she's a workplace expert. So leadership, employee engagement, organizational culture, personal branding, networking, virtual hybrid workplaces, which...
And managing up.
Oh my goodness. Which is huge these days. And you know, Mary and I were just kind of chit-chatting a little bit before today's episode. And Mary, one of the things that I love that you bring to the table is not only the knowledge, the educational side, the theory, but also the practice of this whole thing. Because for a lot of people, you get one or the other, right? But not both. So that's actually really cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
I love that. Yeah. You know, I think we call it praxis these days, which is some made up word, but yeah, I've owned a business now for 29 years. I've owned several different businesses. Actually, Shauna, my very first business, which I think is where I learned the most about how to optimize your business and how to run a business, was actually a restaurant bar, more of a bar than a restaurant, in Washington, D.C., called the Toledo Lounge. And it was super successful. I did it with my sister. And then we opened up a nightclub as well in Washington, D.C. So we had two bars in Washington, D.C. And I learned a ton about like people, about employees, and without any education, like how to get good employee engagement, how to, you know, satisfy the customer and your employees, like where's that sweet spot? And then, of course, I got bored with that. So I moved into consulting, went back to school, got all the degrees in management development, organizational development. And so now my company does organizational and leadership development. So we really focus on working with organizations to create really great cultures, to create great people who can be successful in those cultures, and really focus on employee engagement and really on that sweet spot where the organization gets what they need, the employee gets what they need, and the customer or who's ever buying those services gets what they need too. So it's kind of a threefer, super fun. Every day is different.
Big happy circle is what I'm hearing. Everybody wins, which is a good thing.
Well, that's the truth about business. Like you have to focus on all three. You have to focus on the organization, their needs, your customers, their needs, and your employees, their needs, their wants, all this thing. So it really is a virtuous circle if you can handle all three.
Well, and this is why we have experts like you to tell us how to handle all three. So as you well know, this podcast is specifically about optimizing your business to run without you. And what I just heard in what you said was, well, wait, it's a group. But where does the owner fit into all of that?
Yeah. So there's so many things that owners need to do. I'm going to try to pare down my list. The first thing the owners need to do is actually have the intention that you want this business to run without you. What happens a lot of times, and I will confess, I'm still kind of guilty about this, is that we create something, we have our business baby, and we're reluctant to let anyone else hold our baby or manage our baby or take care of our baby. And this is a really bad analogy because I actually don't have any babies, but so. I know non-parents
you've
love
got
it.
Your you've book. Got, you've got, I've got all the things. I've got you've got a baby. Yes.
And so, you know, if you're starting a business and you're a business owner, and if it's too much about you having to make all the decisions, it's too much about you, then you're not going to optimize. So you have to, first of all, make the choice. Are you running something that's just you, or are you actually going to run a business that is going to succeed with or without you? Once you really determine that, then you've got to set the table for that. So if that's the meal you're serving, I'm going to say many metaphors I can get in on this Friday. If that's the meal you're going to serve, then you've got to set the table. So one of the key things, one of the key lessons that I have learned along the way of being an entrepreneur is this. One, you've got to have the right people, which means you've got to hire people who are smarter than you are, right? Am I right? Like,
yes!
Even though I love being right all the time and I love being the smartest person in the room, that's just my self-delusion. So you got to be prepared to hire people who are smarter than you, who know things that you don't, and then you have to trust them to do their job. And I'm sure everyone that's come on your podcast has said, delegate, Delegate, delegate. But beyond delegation, you've got to give them the authority to do so. Like really letting them know, this is your project. This is your little baby. Do with it as you will. And then be really clear about how you want to be kept in the loop. But yeah, so set your intention and then really get the right people and then give them the, empower them to do what they need to do.
And so what do you say to business owners that are terrified to let go of their baby from that standpoint? Like how do they take the baby step to even maybe give somebody even an ounce of power to do something?
Yeah. So that's a big problem. You know, one of the challenges that we're related to that, just as an aside, is that because we're connected in a 24/7 world, it's really easy for your people just to like email you or text you at any time to get an answer or have you make a decision. So in some ways that disempowers us from actually letting go. Remember in the old days in the 20th century, if you left town, you left town. Like there is no way to find you.
You were gone. You were gone.
And people had to make the decision. So back to your actual question, the baby steps are, we'll start with baby steps. Really sit down with your, this is maybe not such a big baby step, but it might be a big boy, big girl step, but sit with your team and say, where are some areas that you feel like you could have more authority or more empowerment? Where are the areas that I may seem to be a bottleneck to decision-making? Really find out some areas that you really, that your team is like, I am so ready to trust you on this. Like, I'm sorry, your team would be like, I am so ready to handle this. So be on the lookout for things that you're bottlenecking, because that might be a good area. And then pick a project or two. Maybe it's not your most important customer or your biggest client, but pick some areas and just try it. Try letting go. Try handing over the reins. And when you do, and this is when we come back to the importance of delegating, make sure that you're really clear about what it is that you are delegating. So take the time. If you're a nervous person, then just say, hey, Shauna, I'm really nervous about handing over the reins to this. This has been something I have taken care of for a long time. Here are the three things about this that's really are really important to me. Here's how I'd like you to check in with me. I know I might seem a little noisy about this, but that this is a big leap for me. So have your team help you make that baby step.
And what I'm hearing is open, honest communication. Yeah. One of the baselines in almost everything, right? Yeah. If you tell your team, I'm nervous about this, can you help me?
Yes. Right?
They're going to trust you more. Now you're being open, you're telling them, and you have hopefully hired really smart people. So they're coming in with some really good ideas, things that can actually make your life better.
I love that. And your dog loves that too. I can tell. I can hear your dog's like, amen, mama. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's about being authentic. You know, it's about showing a little bit of vulnerability. When we're vulnerable with our people, when we're asking for their help, because that's really, as you said, what you're doing, that's going to engender a lot more trust, and that's going to engender a lot more support from your team. So take that baby step, get your team to help you.
I love it. Okay. So step one, open, honest communication, mm-hmm. ask for help, right? Maybe give little tiny projects. I love it. What do you do for somebody they've got a team? Maybe, so take for example, you've got 20 people on staff. So you've pretty much at least figured out at least the basics of delegation, right?
Yep.
But you still find that you're working 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, you can't disconnect. Is it the same steps? Are there different steps?
So in that case, and that, I think that's a challenge for a lot of us. And that's a challenge for a lot of what, from what I see, your research may either prove or disprove this. I think women have a lot more problem with that. A lot more problem with delegating and letting go of control. So when you're still working like 12 hour days, well, first of all, I do work 10-hour days, but I do it because I love what I do. So I'm guilty of that. But, you know, part of the challenge is you have to check your inner control freak. What is it that you are working on that you refuse to let go of? Like, there are some things in my company that there is no way I should be doing at the level that we are at, but I can't let go of them. And it's based on my own controlness, my own like fear, my own like, well, you know, it would just be easier if I did it. My own like, I don't want to put that on my team. They're already working really hard. So you got to do a really good self gut check, because the thing is, you know, and that also comes to a little bit of time management. if you are doing more than you should do, you're killing your bandwidth. So I suggest that entrepreneurs, business owners sit down and they think, what are the three most important responsibilities that they need to have as the owner? What are the three things that nobody else can do or should do? And then those are the three areas they should focus on. The other things they need to let go of. They need to either hire that out, or they need to pass that out. But if you're spending time on projects that aren't really high priority for the company, then you are really killing the bandwidth of your company, and you're suffocating growth.
And what's going through my head is exactly what you're saying, which is, well, it's just easier if I do it, or whichever of those list of excuses the Mary just gave us, right? How do you get somebody else to gut check you?
Yes.
Sometimes you try to do it yourself and you're like, no, everything I'm doing is absolutely only things I can do.
So there's two things I want you to do for that. One is you should always, as a leader, be seeking feedback from your team. And when I say seek the feedback, I mean asking them, like, what are some things I should be doing less of? What are some things I should be doing more of? What are some things I should be doing differently? And you have to create the psychological safety for them to tell you the truth, which means, Shauna, when they say, well, Shauna, there's really no reason that you should be like sending out the invoices, you should be like, huh, interesting, instead of saying, oh, no, but I like doing it, blah, blah. You have to model openness and receptivity to the feedback, even when you don't agree with it. That's going to help create psychological safety. So that's number one. Seek feedback. Make sure you are providing psychological safety for people to tell you the truth. The second thing I would say is everybody should have a number two. A number two that tells you the truth.
Yes, men.
Right?
No, yes, women. None of it.
No, yes, people. They need to tell you the truth, whether it's like your deputy or whether it's your vice president or whether it's just your favorite, you know, team lead person. Everybody needs to have someone that tells them the truth about what they're doing. There is a third thing you could do, and that is occasionally, or maybe frequently, maybe always, everybody should be checking in with an executive coach or a business coach occasionally, kind of checking in to see, like, here's where I am right now with my business. What could I do more of, less of, or differently? So getting that sort of outside experience.
That's fantastic. So internal viewpoint, right? Yep. Ask your staff, right? Ask the people that work
feedback,
for you.
Feedback.
Internal, true, number two feedback. Number two, like, yep. No BS, no, this is the word, this is the direct.
Yep.
And number three, external, from somebody else that you trust that somewhat knows your business, like a business coach, something like that.
Yeah. And don't forget, of course, you know, starting down by doing like a desktop audit about what you work on and how you spend your time. So a little self-assessment, self-awareness. And there's lots of great models, you know, like the I think it's called the Eisenhower Matrix. Stephen Covey uses it too. You know, things that are important and urgent, things that are important but not urgent, things that are not important and not urgent, and things that are important but not urgent. No, urgent but not important.
I'm totally impressed. You got all four of those just off the top of your head. Very nice.
So that's a great way for people just to spend a look. How did I spend my week? You know, because leaders should be spending almost all of their time on important and urgent and important and not urgent. And the important and not urgent things, I'm trying to make sure that's right. Yeah, the important but not urgent things are strategic planning, thinking ahead, the future, thinking the big picture. And what too many of us spend our time on are things that are important but not urgent. No, we spend our time on things that are not important and urgent, which are things like, you know, answering.
Fires.
Yeah, exactly. Those little fires that actually at the end of the day could wait. You know, they don't really need to be done. So really take a good look at how you are spending your time. And is that really how you should, as the leader, be spending your time?
I love it. All right. Well, so let's see. So organizational culture, we talked a little tiny bit about that. Open, honesty, right? So managing up. I mean, tell me more about that.
All right. So managing up, and this is another way to optimize your business to run without you. So managing up is about how do we create productive, positive, and robust working relationships with those above us in the food chain so that we can succeed, they can succeed, and the organization can succeed. And, you know, so this is really about empowering, you know, people in their organizations to develop these robust relationships with their bosses, with their leaders, even when they're difficult people, so that they can be successful. And so where this comes in for the business owner or the business leader is, how easy or how clear are you making it for people to manage up to you? In other words, how transparent are you about, as an employer, what are your expectations, your needs, your wants, your preferences, your priorities, and your pet peeves? Do your people really know what's important to you? Do they really know what you care about? Do they really know how best to communicate with you and collaborate with you? So instead of making them figure it out, sit down and have a conversation and really talk about, how do you like to communicate? What's your collaboration preferences? What stresses you out? What are your priorities? And this needs to be a two-way conversation. The more that we can really articulate both sides, because it's a relationship, right? Both sides get to talk about, like, what works for them. Then we can create those productive, robust, positive working relationships where you will build more trust with your people, and they will be able to take on more from you because they'll know how to work for you better, and you will know how to lead them better so that you can optimize your business without having your fingers and all the pies all the time.
There's too many pies and I only have 10 fingers. So what do you do? I love it.
I know, right? Yeah, choose your pies wisely.
So, okay, what was the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
It's such a stupid piece of advice. But so when my sister and I were opening up our very first business, the Toledo Lounge, the bar, my dad once said to me, Mary, always check the fuse box before you call the electrician, which I took it to mean, you know, like, don't freak out at every challenge or every bump in the road. Like, if something goes wrong, you are really, as a business owner, you've got to be able to wear lots of hats. I know this sounds like it's opposite what we were talking about, but there are a lot of things that you can figure out, you know? So when the lights go out, instead of immediately calling the electrician, check the fuse box, you know, have a plan for what you can do to overcome challenges. So that was a great piece of advice. And I use it all the time. Like, that we ran into that problem. What can we do to solve it before we shut down or call the cavalry?
And this is how I think it ties directly into what you were saying, which is exactly the wording that you were just using. How do we fix this? Not how do I fix it, the owner. How do we? I have a team. You people are smart. Let's look at it together, right? Somebody in here knows something before we have to call the big guns, the electrician, to come in and do their thing.
Shauna, I love that you are absolutely right. You know, and it reminds me of when the pandemic first hit. So my company, although we've always been a virtual company internally, our services to our clients were always in person, you know, in-person trainings, in-person workshop facilitations, consulting, like we did everything on client site. And so when the pandemic hit last March, as you can imagine, like, our calendar just wiped clean, like everything just disappeared. And I brought my team together and I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? Like, and for a minute, I thought we were done. And my team's like, oh, no, Mary, don't forget, we've been doing virtual training for this one client. We can easily do this. And they created a whole host of free webinars that we did for 12 straight weeks that not only got us all more in the game, but it demonstrated to clients, potential clients, that we could be just as good virtually as in person. And I got to tell you, Shauna, that wasn't me. That was my team. They took it over. They became Zoom queens in no time. And it was really a great example of me just letting go. I didn't know what to do. I'm the oldest person around. And they figured it out. And honestly, we had a great year. Pandemic has been really good to us. So, and it's all because of my team.
I love it. I love it. And this is, so everybody listening, hire smart people and let them do their stuff. Okay.
Because let clearly, them do their effing job.
Yes. I know better than we do. I love it. Mary. Okay. So where do we find you? I mean, obviously I've got your information down here at the bottom. So website and LinkedIn and all the things down here at the bottom. Where's the best place for people to go learn more about you?
I would say, but my, the place I'm most active on in terms of like social media is LinkedIn. So go to LinkedIn, find Mary Abajay. You can find me on Twitter, but really LinkedIn. But also listen to my podcast. We just launched a podcast this summer called Cubicle Confidential. And it's, you're going to love this, Shauna. It's all about like workplace advice. Like people send us...
And not gossip, because Cubicle Confidential sounds like a little bit of a different kind of.
It is a little gossipy and it's a little salty, but all names have been changed to protect the guilty and the innocent. But we're telling tales and we're answering quagmires and it's super fun. So yeah, come find me, LinkedIn with me, find me on Twitter, find me on my podcast. I'm everywhere. I'm easy.
Oh, Mary, it has been such an absolute pleasure to have you here with us. And thank you so much for being our guest today. So guys, if you haven't or haven't yet, go check out Mary's information. It's down here at the bottom. It will, of course, also be in the show notes for today. And Managing Up, I was just about to say the book. Now, I didn't even say this, but Mary's an award-winning, best-selling author here, guys. So if you just got even a little tiny taste of the knowledge that is in this woman's head, go check out the book, go check out the podcast, go check out the website, Cubicle Confidential, by the way, love the name. So guys, Mary, thank you so much for being here with us today. It's been such a pleasure.
Shauna, you are a delight. This was the most fun podcast I've ever done. Thank you for having me.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere, Mary, all the good bit. So if anybody has any questions, of course, you guys know that you can always reach out to me as well on taxgoddess.com. You can find me anywhere you find a tax goddess. So I hope everyone has an absolutely wonderful afternoon, and we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.